hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Welcome in to the Action Line from WGNS. If you're out driving, hopefully if you were out driving early enough, you realize today is the first day of school. City and county schools both open today for a couple of hours anyway. That happened this morning. Michael Bowen is with us, the chief of the Murfreesboro Police Department. We want to remind everybody to drive carefully in those school zones. We seem to get out of that habit.
Yeah, you can definitely tell the traffic patterns change between MTSU and the county schools lately. And I was telling Larry on the way in, wow, just the amount of time it took this morning compared to during the summertime. But
can tell it from the police department to here?
No, from my home to here.
Oh.
Yeah. And, I just encourage everybody to be patient and get used to the adjustments and just watch those school zones. Make sure you obey the speed limits in those school zones and have those cell phones put down. So.
And tomorrow's going to be a full day, so it'll be even more so.
Absolutely.
Well, what's happening with the Murfreesboro Police? Anything exciting going on?
Oh, there's always something going on. Just a lot of growth, a lot of just planning for the future and, dealing with our existing issues. Just a lot of things going on. Of course, I know some people may be tired of hearing about, we're finishing up on a lot of things regarding that a real-time crime center, and I talk about it a lot because I just want people to know what we're doing and what technologies we're using, because we don't want that to be secretive in any way. We want to make sure people know it's out there and that we're utilizing it. And I'd encourage people that if they have any questions about the technology that we're using, they can go to our website, go to our we have a link to the real-time crime center, and it has some past news stories. I think Nashville did some news stories on it, plus it has some video clips and some other questions, frequently asked questions that we posted to alleviate any concerns about what we're doing. And if you do have additional questions, you can call me directly. And
People worried about? I mean, looks like only the criminals would be worried.
No, there's some. I think people have privacy concerns. And I think when you look at technology and how that stuff can be used, I think that's a big, for some people, that's a big concern. But I think if you look at how we use it and how we store it and things like that, you'll find that, first of all, for like LPR technology, that stuff is regulated by law, how long you can store it. And we actually keep it about a third of the time. Law lets keep it up to 90 days. We only keep it for like 30 days. So we don't store that stuff indefinitely. It's just something that's short term. If we have a case that draws us to where we need to pull that information from a video system, from an LPR system, whatever, we'll do that. And then if not, it just goes away. So.
Now, this is the license plate readers.
Right. And remember, we have three pieces of technology that we're using. We're using the gunshot detection technology, we're using the license plate reader technology, and then we're using the video camera technology. So there's three different things in play, and probably the least the one that has the least exposure around the city would be the gunshot detection technology. That's in a more limited area. We're going to try that. We have a two-year contract with that, and we'll try and see how that works out. And of course, the LPR technology has already proven itself to be pretty valuable, and it's helped us in a lot of ways. And then the video technology, those are in limited areas, and like I said, we'll see how those work out as far as placement. We can always move this technology, and we can always add or subtract as needed. So.
Now, you had mentioned last time we talked that with the gun technology, you would get reports of what was happening before people called in now.
Yeah. So the system's not even up and running yet, and I think we had one instance where in a particular area some shots were fired and it was never called in, and we even with the system not even being fully operational, picked up on it, were able to conduct an investigation. I think in another case we had where officers went and looked and couldn't find anything, and they went to the system, and it triangulates it uses triangulation to determine where it the shots could have come from, and it gets you within around 90 feet.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, and so they went out back a second time, were able to find shell casings, things like that, and were able to collect some evidence on that. So it's pretty useful. It's pretty useful.
So if you were in the middle of the night and had shots fired and someone was injured, you could get there in quick enough time before anybody called in, before maybe anybody knew, and save a life too.
So the ultimate goal is when that system is up and running, it will alert the officers in their vehicles versus going through the entire protocol as far as being dispatched out.
When do you think it will be there 100%?
Oh, we're close. We're close. In fact, we didn't have our staff meeting yesterday. I'd venture to say that we're probably 75-80% there on that.
Wow, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Do other cities our size have this, or even bigger cities?
Yeah, so different. I can tell you the LPR technologies in most places. It's in a lot of places. I notice when I drive through even rural parts of Tennessee that you see these things placed in certain locations. So so that technology is used. Of course, video camera system, there's nothing new about that. That technology's been around for a while. So whether or not police departments are using it the same way we are, remains to be seen. I know cities like Chattanooga and some of the larger cities do. I think Knoxville uses them, and some other cities do. So it's not a new technology. It's just you find that if you can place those things, it really helps you with solvability, with the ability to go back, retrieve data off those cameras, and help you solve crimes, especially when you have late night crimes. You have crimes where people are where you don't have witnesses or willingnesses or unwilling to speak because of fear or for retaliation, things like that. So it helps out.
Do you have some technology that's being looked at in other areas that you read about in your police magazines?
I think where we're at right now, we're pretty convinced that the LPR technology has got some standing as far as being a part of the crime center. The other two technology pieces, like I said, all this stuff was, let me back up, all this stuff was part of a grant that through the state of Tennessee, and we have made some independent purchases aside from the grant, but a lot of the technology that we're getting is part of a grant, and we do have to report data on it and kind of results. So as we look at that over time, we'll be able to see, hey, is this stuff still feasible? Is it something we need to move away from, or if we need to add to? So it's a learning thing for us, but I can tell you just from the initial experience that we've had with it, it's been pretty productive.
Okay, so those are things that are happening with Murfreesboro Police, and Larry, you're busily putting together information for the media about that, making sure that everybody knows that MPD is on top of it.
Yeah. And Bart, you asked me earlier about, hey, why would people be concerned about it? I think, like with the gunshot detection technology, I think the way those devices are set up, some people assume that they're recording constantly. They're not. They're designed to activate when a certain sound threshold is met, so they don't do active listening. They don't do active. It's not continuous surveillance. It's just something that, when a shot is fired, something that resembles a gunshot, that's when it activates, and it gives us a short 5-second clip of video, or not video, of audio, and it just gives us a location. So it's not constant monitoring.
And you can tell really whether it's a gunshot or firecracker.
The system does that. Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. And then triangulate within 90 feet of where the person is.
Yeah. In most cases.
And how long does it take to get that triangulation? Almost instant? Or
do what?
Is it almost instant?
It's pretty quick, yeah.
You can get people out there quickly?
Very quick, yeah.
Okay, that's good to hear. So Murfreesboro Police Department is right there on the cutting edge. That would help in making this a safer place. I mean, you can help with the the Jennings Jones Group. You can help them out with the district attorney's office and things like that.
Yeah, and the big thing is, you know, when you look at an industry, I call it an industry, when you look at a profession that's really struggling for recruiting and hiring and just across the nation, you know, when you look at technology pieces like this, it really cuts down on investigative time that officers are having to spend on cases. I mean, I can show you texts where officers have texted me and say, hey, Chief, this is good technology. I had a hit and run today. Before I know it, the crime scene analyst was able to give me the info. I was able to go straight to the person. And when you cut down on investigative time like that, that's big, because you can get these officers back on the street and at the same time, they're being successful in apprehending and identifying suspects in these cases.
So if you're investigating an automobile accident with injury, and you input into it everything, all the data you have, you can come up with answers more quickly.
Yeah. So it helps in a lot of ways. Accident investigations, and not just accidents, it can whatever crime, robberies, you know, things like that. It really cuts down on that investigative kind of time in a lot of ways. So
we have some AI officers out here, it sounds like.
Yeah. It's definitely a win in a lot of ways. And like I said, as we watch recruiting, as we watch hiring, things like that, you know, technology is always going to be a piece of it. And hopefully that'll help us long term in mingling the two, you know, adding more personnel resources with the technology piece and getting a good balance there to where we're making sure that we're able to serve the needs of the city. So,
you know, it's interesting the way you looked at that, because I'd never thought about it that way, about how we don't have enough people applying for jobs. There are so many openings in the police department and every job around, too. And you're replacing it with technology.
Yeah.
Restaurants are starting to do the same thing. Every business is broadcasting, doing the same thing, because people are just not wanting to work for some reason.
Yeah. And you know, it's not just the technology piece. When you look at the civilian, we call it civilianizing positions. When we look at the police officer positions and what it takes to bring an officer on the road, to get them trained, to get them set up to where they can go out and function by themselves and be effective, it takes quite a bit of time. I mean, it's over a year process. But we've also found that some of these jobs, our crime scene investigators, our data analysts, we found that if you can get like these investigators, man, there's a lot of interest in those jobs.
Well, I bet, yeah.
And these individuals, we train them, equip them with vehicles, train them, and they basically go out on these crime scenes, and what a detective used to do as far as evidence collection, things like that, they're doing it. And, man, they're doing a phenomenal job. They are amazing at what they do. And, they go to court, they testify, they're excellent excellent witnesses for the prosecution. And like I said, there's just, I guess the whole CSI thing has driven a lot of interest behind those jobs. But we find that instead of filling a lot of these positions with police officers, going the civilian route, that's given us quite a bit of success as well.
We were watching, actually physically there, witnessing the situation that was going on Monday at Siegel High School. It was a drill,
right,
for active shooter, and it was interesting how much technology they were using there. They had the drones and things of that sort, and you stop and you think, if you have drones, that's a whole lot safer than sending an officer in. And I have a friend who's doing weather coverage in storm areas, and he was reporting the other night from some of the areas around Savannah, Georgia, and he was using drones to get in and out of areas that you wouldn't want to send people.
Right. Right.
So we're looking at some big changes here.
Right. And some of those drones are small enough, you can fly them into instead of having officers do entry in a place, you can fly them into a business, a home, wherever you need to go into, and try and establish contact with the people inside that way. I know we've got a lack of better terms, a robot that we can send into situations, things like that. Whereas, you know, 20, 30 years ago, we'd be sending people in. But now you can be patient, you can wait, you can send these, use this technology to go in, try to establish contact with whoever you're trying to reach, work out whatever resolution you need to. And it's game-changing. It's a game-changer.
What kind of response do you get when you send in a robot, say, and the thing starts talking, or a drone and a speaker in it starts saying, "I'm so-and-so with the Murfreesboro Police Department. We want to talk with you."
Typically you'll either get compliance, or then a lot of times you just discover, what's going on in the home. And a lot of times it's just, your matter of just get some visuals on if you have to make an entry. You can kind of do a little bit of recon that way. But I guess the responses have varied from cooperation to non-cooperation.
Usually when the chief was being very polite most of the time that in those situations, if we've got to send that device into a house, it's because this person is not wanting to do what we want them to do in a reasonable manner. So it's met with some apprehension, I guess, if you will, or some it's just kind of a yeah it, it's just I think what chief point the point is though it, it gives the people on the outside a wonderful view of what's going on, and so they know what to be prepared for when we do have to go inside, so it makes it a lot safer.
Yeah,
let me ask you this. We've been having weeks now, it's not just days but weeks, of super hot and humid temperatures. Does that make situations a little more tense? When things happen, if it's 98 degrees outside and the humidity is 100%, I would think that would make things a little on the edge.
You've always heard that. But I don't know. I don't know if that... that's always been discussed. Summer's here, people get short. Yeah. But I don't know that that's a trend that I can say for sure is valid. I don't know.
Only thing I would say is I know, like, from our point of view, it's just, the officers they're wearing a lot of gear, a lot of stuff, and it just kind of, it's not something that you can't be aware of every day and feel like, man, this just makes this a little, this just adds a little bit more level of difficulty to the job. So, they're out, because a lot of the time they're outside dealing with things and standing there for long periods of time. So yeah, it's but I don't know that it changes anything in the crime trend per se.
Yeah, but this is over a couple of decades. More people would be out doing things, but I don't know that you see that as much anymore.
We have a question here from a listener, and it says, ask the chief about the shooting practice range that has been purchased out of the county. Outside the county, or did they?
Right. We're looking at a piece of property in Pelham, Tennessee, and I don't think the purchase has been completed yet. I think that with that, there was a due diligence clause in that, and I'd have to check the dates on that. So basically looking at a piece of property in Pelham, Tennessee, we took it before council and got approval to at least start researching it, and I think if everything pans out, we'll be able to go through with the purchase. But I think that we have to kind of do have a due diligence, and what the challenge for us is just when you look at the ability, especially when it comes to rifle training, there's very limited areas where you can do that training. We have the shared range at the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department. That's a 25-yard range, so it's really hard to do any type of large-scale rifle shooting there. So the challenge for us became, hey, let's find a place where we can expand, give us more abilities to do different types of training. And it's challenging. You know how it is with property in Rutherford County and some of the surrounding counties. Well,
where is Pelham? I've heard of Pelham, but I couldn't tell you where it is.
It's exit, it's off exit 117 if you're going 24 east toward Monteagle.
Okay.
Yeah. So what we found ourselves doing is we were contracting with these independent ranges, these privately owned ranges, to where we would have to do these independent contracts. And yeah, that was challenging in and of itself because limitations on, they had other agencies using those ranges. So being able to schedule and things like that became challenging. this particular piece of property we look at is an existing range. So it's not like we're trying to go into an area and add a range. It's been a functioning range for several years now. So it's something that we're not introducing into the area. It's something that's pre-existing. So it just a lot of things about it seemed really workable for us. We in fact we had a contract with that range, and we were actually doing training out there, and I think some other agencies had contracts with that range, so a lot of people were already using it. So it just seemed like a good opportunity. I think when you look long term, if you can get established in a situation like that, you know, what are you looking at? I always go back to like the training academy range. How's that one? I mean, you know, you've got the potential to get a couple decades of use out of this. And when we look at our officer staffing and the percentage of officers that carry rifles now versus the percentage we want to carry rifles, this will let us open the door and get our entire department converted to rifle and give them the ability to train and have a place to go to.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We will come back and continue the conversation. Maybe we can talk a little bit more about the need to change over to rifles and a whole different approach to police work, drones, things of that sort. It's fascinating, really. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett, hitting right at what matters most to all of us here in the heart of Tennessee. Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
Hi, this is Peter Demas. One of the things that we've done years ago is we've been able to do our orders, like our pastas and many other items, that we used to be able to put them in large pans, and now we have a catering team that will even deliver it to your home. We can drop it off for you, set it up, or they can come in and pick it up. Look up our catering menu on www.demasrestaurants.com. This is Peter Demas at Demas's Restaurant, 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, and our hand-fed baby bird nursery is starting to fill up. If you are looking for your next sweet feathered companion, come in and see us. Find your next pre-loved, pre-spoiled pet here at Animal City. Be sure to check out our downstairs level. Here at Animal City, we would like to thank Murfreesboro for letting us be your family-owned and operated pet store for 33 years. Animal City is located at 919 Northwest Broad Street.
With all the uncertainty in the economy, the pre-election wobbles, is my money really safe? That's when I discovered the power of a gold IRA from Noble Gold Investments. It's a tangible asset that can help protect your wealth when times get tough. And with Noble Gold Investments, it was so easy to roll over my existing IRA into a self-directed gold IRA. Their experts guided me through every step. I've diversified my retirement portfolio with something real. Don't wait for the election uncertainty to threaten your financial security. Vote for the timeless safety of gold and silver in 2024. Oh, and hear this. They're giving away up to 10 one-ounce silver Trump coins or a 10-ounce silver American flag bar with a qualifying account. Just visit NobleGoldInvestments.com now and use the promo code Trump. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Good morning. Cleanup continues on this crash out here in Wilson County. It's been out here for quite some time involving that fatal crash on 40 eastbound just past 840. And still a mess there at Highway 109 at Leeville Pike there in Wilson County with power lines down. Still crowded right now. 65 southbound as you work your way down past Trinity Lane. Just about through with that wreck. 65 north before Dickerson Pike. Whether you need a new roof, roof repair, or roof inspection, independent roofing specialists, they've got you covered here in Middle Tennessee. Check out irsroofs.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
We'll see sunny skies here this afternoon, a high in the mid-90s. Winds out of the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear and a low near 72. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 72.
Hi, this is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We are your local Rough Country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World Off-Road on Memorial Boulevard.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Online at tireworld.us.
This is Chip Walters, and I'll have Middle Tennessee football and basketball games for you right here.
MTSU Sports on WGNS AM, FM, online.
Welcome back. If you have a question dealing with law, give us a shout. And the number to call, 615-893-1450, 615-893-1450. We were talking just a little while ago about the new shooting range over in the Pelham, Tennessee area that the city's looking at right now. And the chief had mentioned sort of a more serious transition from weapons such as the handguns and what have you to rifles. The criminals are using the heavier stuff now, so you have to almost make the transition.
Yeah, and the big transition would be from going to the shotgun platform to a rifle platform. The handguns will always be a part of what the officers carry. But the big challenge for us is getting moved from the shotguns to the rifles. And like I said, a lot of that is based on, of course, there's the expense with making that transition as far as getting the hardware and equipment. There's the training component. So there's a lot of things that have to be considered before making that transition. I hope I answered the question for your caller on the range. If not, just send a follow-up question. I'll be glad to do it. But basically, the bottom line is if we go through with that that purchase, it will give us a place that we can manage, that we can utilize for the next foreseeable future for our training. And one of the things I've always pointed out is we're at after this budget cycle, we're at 331 positions, budgeted positions. Of course, those aren't all filled. And then when you look out towards FY33, FY34, we should be in about the 465 range if we're maintaining growth. And then you look at that and look at that number of officers and realize that you have to do firearms training, including rifle training for them. It's just something that we've got to be able to be self-sufficient in that area. And I think this will let us do it without any foreseeable issues.
Now, the 465 by what time?
Around FY33. I think the conservative approach is for each year. On average, like I said, you won't be able to do it every year, but on average, we're looking at probably needing to add about minimum 15 officers a year for the next 10 years.
How does our number of officers compare to cities like Chattanooga, Knoxville, places like that?
Yeah, so that's always tough to look at. So we use, right now, we're using the officer per population ratio. And that's challenging. It's good to a point, but at some point, once you kind of get close to where you need to be staffing wise, then you need to start looking at workload indicators, things like that, crime rates, things like that. We know that when we compare to some of the other cities, I think the best comparison for us is Clarksville. They're similar in population, and we're similar in agency size. When you start looking at Knoxville, Chattanooga, they have quite a bit more as far as staffing, but you got to understand those cities are also larger in square miles, and they also have different crime trends that we're not seeing here at this time. So those are all things that you have to consider. So just looking at there's certain documents that are put out by FBI, things like that, when you can look at staffing in like the Southeast region. They break it down into different segments around the country, and I think right now we're just trying to get around that 2.1 range and then kind of go from there.
So as crimes increase in these other communities, We're not seeing them yet in Murfreesboro, whereas they are in Chattanooga, Knoxville.
Right. Cities can have similar populations, but the crime trends could be very different, so that's what you have to look at. And like I said, right now we know that we have a minimum staffing level that we want to be at. We're not there yet, so we're going to use the population formula for now, and then once we start getting close to reading that population formula, like the 2.1 per thousand, you'll see it someplace it might say whatever per thousand. Once we start looking at that and getting closer to that, then we'll start looking at some workload indicators and things like that and do a more detailed breakdown.
I remember a long time ago, back when there was a shopping mall over off of in the area of, what was it, Racquet Club?
Right.
Yeah, that was when Clyde Atkinson was here. Clyde would come on and he would give reports of how we were having crimes coming into the area that people suspected were the beginning of gangs.
Right.
And everybody would, oh, no, we're not going to have gangs. Right. What are you seeing now? Are we seeing much gang activities here? There are obviously gangs in Nashville.
Absolutely. And I mean, the presence has always been here for a long time now. So I don't know that there's. He threw his hands up. I thought.
No.
He's over here.
Larry got excited there.
We're solving tomorrow's problems.
Okay. So yeah. So there's been a presence, and
another show going on.
Yeah. So we have, in fact, we have officers that are just totally dedicated to the drugs, the gangs, the human trafficking, things like that. We have a whole set of resources dedicated for that. So their presence in our community has been for it's been a while. It's been a while. And, I really look around. I don't know that any community is immune from having some type of a presence. It might be a small presence, but I mean, I think that's just the world we live in, and just making sure you're dedicating the right resources to these individuals and trying to stay on top of things. It's challenging, but it's something that we work towards every day. But yeah, to say that there's a presence, definitely. Like I said, I know of very few communities that, that don't have some kind of gang presence. So
that's a sad statement about our world today.
Yeah, it is. But hey, there's a lot of good people out there doing right things that that'll hopefully keep the scales tipped in our favor, and making sure that we're meeting the challenges that they present, and doing the right thing, and making sure that we're keeping this community safe.
Here's a question from a listener. This one's going along with what you were talking about there, and they're asking you to share your opinions on some of the missing children today and over the years. They continue to be missing. The Tudors lady over in Nashville, the Vidion person here in Rutherford County for decades now, and then more recent cases, Hendersonville, on and on. We all remember people who are missing. Are they missing because of drug cases, do you think? Or were they pulled into sex trafficking? What would your most professional thought be?
Well, that would be something that I probably wouldn't delve into as far as giving a cookie cutter type answer to, because every situation is going to be unique in its own way. It's going to have its own set of circumstances, and you just really need to be cautious on how you explain any of those. But I can tell you that every one of those situations is probably different in their own way, and probably I don't think there's a blanket answer for any of those. And you'd have to look at each of those cases independently and kind of look at the factors. And for the ones that are unsolved, you'd probably just have to draw your own conclusions on those, lacking any other factual evidence. So,
after a certain period of time, is there an increase in the chances that that person has deceased?
I don't know about, I don't know if I use deceased, because you've seen instances in the country where people have shown up after being missing for years, and I never want to give up hope for any individual that has somebody missing. So statistically, I wouldn't have anything to say, hey, after a certain time period, that individual's, like I said, it's just I don't think it's a cookie cutter answer on any of that. Clayton, I don't know if you want to chime in.
I was going to say the same. You could look at each one of those cases, and there's statistically one might show where X amount of time goes by, that likelihood goes down, and then we're all familiar with they've made it popular on a TV show. We would love to have in those first 48 hours, if you will, the things that you find readily available. Those are obviously, that's your best window, but after that, as Chief mentioned, that each one of these cases is so unique. And if you've ever watched any of those stories, and some of it's dramatized on TV, so I'm not promoting that, but the truth is often stranger than what you can imagine. And for various reasons, people do odd things, and in the criminal mindset, it's just impossible to know exactly that motivation until you get to the very end of that. And unfortunately, sometimes we just don't get there. It's just not enough. But it's not something that's forgotten. And if new information comes in, I know a lot of times what they would refer to as cold cases, they're never closed. We don't just we don't just give up on them. It's sometimes things happen or things are found, and it's like, hey, I wonder if this could be related to this. So, I think it's important. We hate it for the victims of that, and it's terrible to deal with, not have that closure, but we will never close those cases until they're completely done.
Yeah, and I just don't want any inferences based on anything I say here, and people attach it to whatever case. So, yeah, it's challenging. You'd have to go back to those localities and look at what's been put out there for each of those cases.
Yeah.
Chief Bowen, you said something earlier that was interesting, and it ties in sort of with this whole approach. And that is when you were saying about you're filling a lot of the job vacancies with computer whizzes. So, and they're able to take the information, put them into a computer, and come up with answers that detectives had never been able to. Because you can't look at that large of an area, a person can't, that a computer does. Is that the future for this also? I wonder.
Yeah. So you always have to have the people. That's always going to be the challenge. And I think the more accurate way to say it is the technology helping the officers or the detectives spending less investigative time on cases. And if it does, it helps them free up to move on to the next thing. So it's really a supplement for your law enforcement staffing, and it really plays a huge role in them being able to manage more of a caseload. The caseload our detectives have is pretty overwhelming. So anything we can give them to help them process that. Like I said, the amount of work they do is phenomenal, and anything we can do to help out with that, including the line officers on the street, we've got to pursue all those options.
Yeah. Very good. Here's a question about traffic. I thought we were going to slip through the day without a traffic question, but this person is saying that on South Church Street, on out past the interstate, on out around Walmart, traffic is horrendous at some times of the day. Any chance that there could be more officers to patrol that area?
Yeah, so I'll always have to go back to with the resource allocation. If you have a specific thing that you're seeing at a specific time, to call us or to go online and enter that information. We have a lieutenant that will go through that, and he will identify those areas, those times of day, and we'll make sure we get the resources out there at the right time. But the more details we can have, the better off we are as far as resource allocation. And it's something that we'll gladly go out there, see if there's a problem, and do whatever enforcement we need to do. But it's challenging right now because you've got a lot of areas getting a lot of complaints, and a lot of them are legit. Some of them are, you have some issues, and then some of them, we don't see a what we'd call a pattern of issues. So we have to evaluate each one because it's as far as what we're observing and as far as what's being reported is challenging. And there's some areas that get reported and we're like, wow, yeah, we need to put a lot of resources out here. So if this is one of those, give us some times, days a week, things like that, send it to us, and we'll see what we can do to help out with that issue.
We will be back in just a moment. Stay with us. Our final break and our guest from the Murfreesboro Police Department. It's a hard decision to make, knowing when to sell your home and move to Adam's Place.
There's one couple here that I met, and they said it was a lifestyle that they didn't have at home. You have, like, every night dining at a fine hotel. You have the pool. It is so beautiful. Just so much to offer that you won't have in your own home. It's all right here.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adam's Place. Call me for more information about Adam's Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Adam's Place.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. The friends you've made while banking right here over the years are still here, and so are those delicious, warm, homemade cookies. Everything you enjoyed about Capstar is still at Old National Bank.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Come on over and enjoy warm cookies with friends while doing your banking at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450. Online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Welcome back. Our number, 615-893-1450. We're the final leg. I don't know where the time went to. We're having too much enjoyment here. Yep. I mean, it really is. Time flying.
You know it.
Our phone number, 615-893-1450. Visiting with us this morning from the Murfreesboro Police Department, Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen, and also visiting with us this morning, Clayton Williams and Larry Flowers. So we have a lot of people with a lot of answers. One of the questions, today is the first day of school, half day, and then tomorrow's a full day.
Yeah, so I just encourage everybody to be observant in the school zones. We will be out enforcing laws, and I always, try to do this every year and get out ahead and try to do enforcement, and it will result in citations for speeding through school zones. It will result in citations for texting while driving, things like that. So just really be mindful. I always get some emails every year when we do this to people frustrated that we're taking advantage of the new school year, but that's not what we're doing. We're just trying to make sure that those kids are safe coming to and from school. We're making sure that everybody's just aware of their surrounding, you know, school zones. And when you look at MTSU fixing to start here and real soon, same thing around campus. We want those vehicles to operate slowly. We want everybody obeying laws. So we're just out there trying to help people make that transition. And like I said, we're going to be looking for violators, and the result could be a citation. So just share with your friends, family, whoever. Hey, just pay attention. We're going to be out really monitoring those areas. And like I said, just remember the ultimate goal is that we want those school zones to be safe. We want those children to be safe. We want these students return to school to be safe. So that's the ultimate goal.
And I guess really the people using their cell phones in their hands, whether it's talking or texting, both really bad.
Right. That distracted driving is huge. I mean, that's kind of the key issue in most accidents nowadays. And just really encourage people to use those hands-free devices. And if you don't have to use it at all, don't use it at all.
So those are some things to keep in mind, and those are some things that you need to be doing. As far as other things, and that is not just a school zone.
That's a day-to-day. Yeah, that's every driving anywhere, any time of day.
So would we talk about that last text we got about a listener saying traffic problems on South Church Street could be related to texting and phone use?
It could. I think a lot of what we're seeing now is just volume. It's just a lot of traffic in this town now. And I know that especially people that have been here a while, it's not new, but it's so beyond what we're used to. And I think a lot of times we go into areas to do enforcement, and a lot of it's just a lot of volume, and a lot going on. And like I said, in those areas where we can, we have speed measuring devices, things like that, that we can put out. And a lot of times we'll see that, hey, maybe 85, 86% of the cars are doing the speed limit, and you get some stragglers that come through there breaking the speed limit. But a lot of times it's just, like I said, sheer volume. It's overwhelming in a lot of areas. So
just a matter of making people a little more aware of the rules.
Right.
And the people, because if it says 30, somebody's going to be trying 40.
Yeah.
So,
people just need to be patient. I think a lot of times it's not us that's going to be the issue, but you never know about people, how what sets other people off as far as getting frustrated in traffic, things like that. So just I just encourage patience on everybody's part, and a little bit of understanding in some of these traffic situations. Some of them get pretty difficult, and just give yourself plenty of time to get to where you're going.
Here's one from a listener who says, I used to see the police in our area frequently having traffic stops. In fact, they would set up about a block away from where I am and stop traffic on a regular basis. I don't see them there anymore. Is the town so big that they can't cover the city?
So I don't know what area they're talking about.
I'm not sure.
If I had a specific location, I might be able to elaborate a little more detail. But no doubt the city's growing. And like I said, you see a lot more complaints. The ability for people to file complaints as far as traffic is a lot easier. So, yeah, we're having to spread those resources out. I mean, that's the truth of the matter.
And so it's just hard to do. I mean, do it.
Yeah, and it's just, don't ever be discouraged from turning that in. Like I said, I'd like to know where the caller's calling from, because I know we run accident data, things like that, and try to put resources where we're seeing accidents, things like that. So I don't know what particular part of town this person is talking about.
No, that's on your website that they could turn this into.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, we've been advertising that for a while. But, yeah, so, I'd encourage them to send that through, and we'll look at it again.
Okay. So these are things, if we work together, that's the whole secret of it, working together, helping the police. If you see something that's a problem, let the police know. They can't be everywhere all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, if we've been totally honest, there's certain areas of town, probably 20 years ago, you could sit and write a bunch of tickets, but are those areas, what impact are those traffic issues in that area having compared to other areas? So you kind of have to balance that out. You know, are we seeing accidents in those particular areas? Are we seeing things in those particular areas? So it's just not a one-size-fits-all kind of approach. Like I said, the big thing is a safety, accident prevention, things like that, and that's what we have to go after. And like I said, the caller, they may have an issue that's an area of concern, so send it to us, let us know, and remind us if we're missing something.
Okay. On that note, we have about 15, 20 seconds. Any final thoughts that anybody wants to make before we leave? Nope, everybody's quiet. Okay. No new colors on police department cars or anything like that.
No. I'll always go back to, hey, we're hiring. Yeah. Anybody interested in a job, come talk to us. We definitely had 15 positions added to the budget this year. So absolutely, if you're interested in a job, law enforcement, come see us.
Visiting this morning, Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen, Sergeant Clayton Williams, and PIO Larry. Thank you for joining us. Larry Flowers.
That's everything.
I was about to give him the wrong name. Stay with us. Much more to come on WGNS Murfreesboro.